What's up, world? Welcome to the Positive Truth, uplifting and positive news for a more progressive society. Tim, what are we trying to bring?
Here at the Positive Truth, we're trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, and understanding to communities everywhere.
Tonight we have the best interview ever with Jamie Zumwalt of Joe's Addictions coming up right after this. Have to check this out. Please share. It's one of the most inspiring things we've ever had. She's what we're trying to be. Did I miss anything, Tim?
Yep. Perfect person in my eyes, man. Make sure you guys check this out. Like, subscribe, share, and all that good stuff.
Please share. This is going to be wonderful. And here's the interview.
Enjoy.
How's everyone doing? We're here with Jamie Zumwalt. She's the founder and president of Outrageous Love and lead pastor of Joe's Addiction. Can you tell them who you are and what Joe's Addiction is?
Yes. My name's Jamie. Joe's Addiction is really a coffee shop community. Started out just a little coffee shop, but it has really turned into a community of people who do a lot of life together and help each other to live life better. Is kind of how I do things.
Absolutely.
So, why a coffee shop? And what inspired you to like do this?
All right, well, there's a story about that. I actually grew up in the Northwest in Washington State, and I went to high school in Seattle. So coffee is kind of in my blood, maybe, I think. And so that was really a natural thing, just sort of in my background. But my husband and I were, both of us grew up in church, and we had gone as missionaries overseas and had all this religious activity in our background. And we really kind of, as I was about 10 years ago, hit a pretty giant crisis in our own faith and weren't too sure that we really believed in any of the stuff that we had been raised in anymore. And a lot of it had to do with just not feeling like Christians were being very nice people. And we'd had a lot of pain in our own life in that whole area. And yet we just couldn't throw the whole thing away. We had a lot of experiences that we felt to be true. And when we looked at Jesus and the stuff that Jesus teaches, we thought, this is really, really good. And so when we started this little coffee shop, that was all of our background. And we kind of brought to it this experiment. We thought, okay, if we open up a little coffee shop in an area where there's a lot of need in town, and we start trying to actually just live the things that Jesus taught, is it even possible, was the first big question. Can you even do the stuff he taught? Caring for the poor and forgiving your enemies, loving your enemies, that's probably the most difficult thing that he taught us to do, and just everything that he taught, is that even possible? And then if it is possible, does it make any difference when people begin to do that? Does it make difference in individual lives, but can it actually even change and transform a community? So that was the beginning. 10 years ago, that we opened this little coffee shop and just decided we wanted to see how it would go. We just tried to do that.
That's amazing.
So
that's definitely an amazing story.
Did you have any business experience prior to?
Zero. I had zero business experience, and it's a wonderful thing. I had a young man in my life that was about the age of my kids, really. That just kind of came alongside and said, "I think I can help do some of the business stuff." And I'm really good at the people stuff. And so we kind of partnered together right there in the first year. And so he's the one who helped me do a lot of the setting up the business and learning how you're supposed to pay your sales tax and the health department and all that stuff that's required. And now he's long gone, he's moved away from here, but I have to run all those things now and I don't like them, but I still have to do them. So, but I like the people stuff a whole lot more.
So what does Joe's Addiction do for the community around here?
Well, this community here, surrounding this coffee shop, there's a neighborhood that lives just behind the coffee shop here. And the latest census shows that the average income is about $11,000 a year in this neighborhood. And so with that, you know, with all of the issues of poverty go a whole lot of other struggles as well. We have a lot of drug addiction in this neighborhood, a lot of mental health problems. A lot of people who have been in and out of prison. Then we even have a homeless population that's living nearby here as well. And so with all of that dynamic going on, over the years, just as we got to know people and started hanging out and doing life together and wanting to learn how to love each other better, we've started just taking care of those kinds of needs. So we try to provide some resources, Narcotics Anonymous meetings, you know, to help people with their drug addictions. We have a free store. It's just like a thrift store. It's down at the other end of our building here. People donate like you would to the Goodwill. And then we just open up 2 days a week and allow folks to come in and get anything that they might need. So we have clothing, we have small appliances, things, you know, all kinds of household kind of stuff that people might need. And, you know, when we started that, I was thinking thrift store. But the people here in this neighborhood and folks that hang out here in the coffee shop, they were the ones who said to me, well, didn't Jesus say give to those who ask, not sell to those who ask? And I was thinking, yeah, but you got to pay the rent, you know? And really, it's the people in this community that really believed that it was possible to actually just give stuff away, stuff that people have given. And really, it's just a way for us to share with each other. So it really has become a form of recycling for the people in this neighborhood. They bring things in that they don't need anymore and just exchange them for the things that they do need. And so stuff is just constantly changing hands and getting into the hands of people.
How often is stuff being donated?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day people are bringing in things, donating things. And then we open the shop on Fridays and Saturdays, just from 9 to 2 every Friday and Saturday.
How much are people taking things?
Every day, every time we're open. I mean, it's busy from 9 to 2, you know. It's just sporadic as people come in and they look through things. And we don't really have a limit as to what they can take, but there's really a respect that has developed, you know, where people don't just take a whole bunch of stuff that they don't really need. They leave the stuff they don't really need for people who need it, you know. But there's nice stuff, too, you know, to be able to decorate your house and pretty little knickknacks and things that people can put in their homes. And then the ladies, I have two ladies here in the community that actually run that store. And as folks come in and say, hey, do you all have a high chair? And they say, no, we don't have a high chair. They start watching for a high chair. And everyone in this neighborhood, we have really gotten to know one another. And so when a high chair comes in, for example, well, they can call them up and say, hey, we got a high chair. You guys were needing a high chair. And so we're able to just pass things on, you know, to the folks that really need them. So
we have a lot of people who are not from Oklahoma who listen, watch.
Yeah.
You tell, like, we're in Valley Brook. Mm-hmm. You want to tell everyone a little bit about Valley Brook?
Yes. Valley Brook is its own little city inside of Oklahoma City. It's only 0.3 square miles are the city limits of this little town. Valley Brook has its own mayor, its own city council, even its own little police force just for this 0.3 square miles. It's a very unique part of Oklahoma City. We have right now we have 5 strip clubs that are along this main road of this town, this community, and it really is zoned for this sex industry, is what this town is really, the history of this town is for a long time. That's been really the only business that's going on in this part of in this town. So it creates a lot of just unique sort of issues that are right here in town. And so we're just here in the middle of all of it to just serve and to teach one another how to love each other better, to practice it together. And
so you came from Washington. How'd you get, of all places, here?
Well, I went to college in Idaho, met my husband there in a college in Idaho, and then we went overseas to Taiwan to be missionaries. We were there for a couple of years. And we came back here to Oklahoma because I have a scholarship to go to a college here in Oklahoma City. And that ended up just sort of getting us stuck here in Oklahoma. We have never left. We've done a lot of traveling back and forth overseas, but we keep coming back here. And for the last 10 years, we've really been just really embedded into this community.
Washington, Idaho, Taiwan, Oklahoma.
Yes.
Wow.
It's been a journey, an adventure, really.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, everything that you've said so far has been wonderful. It's been amazing. Mm-hmm. I love the story right over here.
Yeah.
We've actually done a story called, they're blessing boxes. They're doing that in Kansas right now. And basically, it's a box that you put stuff in. People that need things, they take it out. People that have things to donate, they drop it off.
That's so great.
It's a similar idea. And I just, oh my gosh, that's wonderful. That is a beautiful idea.
You have a blessing store.
Yeah.
We're trying to get a blessing box.
Yes.
We're trying to be like you.
The blessing store.
Super inspiring. Being inspiring, I know you've met a lot of people here, you've made a lot of good friends here. Do you have any inspiring stories from customers that came through?
Oh yeah. So with one that's fresh on my mind right now, just because it's so hot, you know, outside it's just so, so hot. A few years ago, I was serving behind the counter making coffee, you know, and someone came in, I looked up and there was a man standing here that was just bright red, sunburned terribly. He has really, really blonde hair, you know, and just had burned awfully. And he had a thermos jug in his hand and he was just shaking. And I ran over to him, asked him, "Are you all right? Can I help you?" You know, and he was just mumbling incoherent things, you know, and it was pretty obvious that he was in some heat exhaustion, you know, and needed water. And I looked around the room and there were a couple of other folks that were here that I knew were homeless, living outside. And so I asked them, "Do you guys know him? Have you ever seen him?" Because I didn't know if this incoherent talking was normal for him or if this was because he was really sick. And they said, "Oh yeah, yeah, he lives down the street in the woods and he kind of keeps to himself. We don't really know him so much, you know." And so I said, "Man, I think we better call 911. And he started shaking his head no. He didn't want us to call 911. I went ahead and called 911, and but he was saying he didn't want them. So the paramedic over the phone, they told me, "Well, if he's not wanting to come in, we can't make him come in." I told him I thought he probably had some overheating, you know, and so over the telephone, they told me what we needed to do. And boy, the folks that were sitting in here, they all just jumped up and, you know, jumped in to help and got cold rags and soaked him in cool water and put him on him and set him in a chair and got him water to drink. And within about 10 minutes, he started coming around and making more sense, you know, in the things that he was saying. And that was our introduction to a man that has now become a part of our community here. His name is Mikey. And he still lives outside. He has a lot of disabilities and a lot of difficulty trying to get up out of that homeless condition that he is in. But he's here on a regular basis. And he now actually serves here in the coffee shop. He helps sweep and mop the floors and hangs out here with us a lot. And has really just become one of the members, one of the features really of our community here in the coffee shop.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. We all love Mikey. And most of the people that are actually serving here in the coffee shop now, that ones that work behind the counter, they're all people who are from this neighborhood, from this community. Some of them are even still living outside, you know, but are contributing to give back to the community that has helped them in some way. So
on this positive circle that's going on.
Have you been doing this for 10 years?
Yeah.
I feel like you have a lot of inspiring stories.
I do have a lot of those stories. You want another one?
Yeah, keep it coming.
Okay.
Keep it coming.
All right, I'll tell you about a lady named Paulette. Paulette grew up in a really, really abusive home. Her mama had some pretty severe mental illness, was very, very abusive. There were a number of men in her mom's life that were allowed to just do whatever they wanted with Paulette. So a lot of abuse that she experienced. As a teenager, she was passed then from foster home to foster home and ended up for a season in a girl's home. And of course, none of that helped her emotional condition at all. She ended up getting married very, very young and had three little children. And the man that she married was very abusive. And there came a point where she just decided, "I've had it with this, you know, being beaten up all the time." And she woke up early, like 5 o'clock in the morning one morning, to his fist in her face, just punching her while she was asleep in her bed. And she pulled out a gun from underneath her pillow and unloaded it into him. And it was premeditated. So she was charged, you know, with premeditated murder. Ended up that she was acquitted from that crime, as the jury decided that it was self-defense, you know. And you would think that would be a new beginning for her, but it really wasn't. That even twisted her off even more. And she got involved in some criminal activity, ended up spending some time in prison, and lost her kids, of course, when she went to prison. But sitting there in prison, she determined, "When I get out, I am going to live for these children. I am going to become a good mama to these children." And when she got out, she was able to get her kids back, you know, and she started on that path of being a good mom to her kids. And though she was single and poor and trying to take care of them. And then not too long after she got her kids back, her youngest 4-year-old little girl died in a drowning accident. And this woman has just been through so much suffering, so much pain. And when I met her, she had just moved into the neighborhood here. She didn't have a coffee pot in her house, and she came wandering up here. There used to be a convenience store next door to us here, and she was actually headed to the convenience store to look for some coffee one morning. And one of the folks that hangs out here in our little community was out on the front porch and just greeted her. She said, "I'm going to get some coffee." And he said, "Well, this is a coffee shop. You want to come in?" So she came in, and that was the beginning. She just started hanging out here, and she'd bring a book with her and kind of sit by herself and read. And then little by little, we got to know her a little bit and became friends with her. And then one morning, a Wednesday morning, she came up here and the coffee shop was closed. And she called up my manager at that time, and she complained to him, said, "Why is the coffee shop closed? I need my coffee." And he said, "Well, we don't have anybody to volunteer on Wednesday mornings. Everybody that works here is a volunteer." And she was all mad, "You know, I need my coffee. That's not right. You need to have the coffee shop open every day, you know." And he said, "Well, Paulette, would you like to volunteer on Wednesday mornings?" And so that was 6 years ago, and she has been volunteering ever since. And over the years, well, I'll tell you, when I met Paulette, she was maybe the meanest, toughest person I had ever met in my life. And we have men that hang out here that have spent lots of years in prison, some who've been in prison for many years for murder, and they are scared of Paulette. All right, she is just tough as can be. But over these last 6 years, as we have grown in relationship, and not just me and her, but people here in this community, and as she's learned about love, and she's little bit by little bit let that wall of toughness down and let everybody here become family with her, we've watched Paulette change and soften and become more and more tender. And now, Paulette serves as a barista. She helps run the free store. We have a community garden, and she helps oversee the community garden. She helps take different ones to a clinic. We go to a clinic that's especially for homeless folks once a month, and she takes them there and helps make sure they're getting their medications. And she is here every day, just about all day. And Paulette has become mama to a bunch of the young ones here in this community. They actually call her mom, you know, and she has found a family here in this community. And this crazy little messy coffee shop has become her life, you know. And there came a season just a couple years ago where some things got really difficult in relationship with somebody else here, and she was thinking, "Man, I'm out of here. I don't think I want to do this." It was just too hard, you know, how things get when you're trying to have to stay connected to people. People are hard to get along with, you know? And it's a lot easier sometimes just to walk away from people when it gets hard. And so she thought about it. She considered leaving. And I remember her, was this a family-friendly show? She said, this Jesus stuff, I think it's bullshit. You know? I said, "Well, I kind of agree with you." It is not easy stuff, you know, to forgive people, to keep loving people, especially when they're mean to you, you know. So I said, "You don't have to keep doing this, you know. If you don't want to keep doing this, there's no requirement to keep walking this same path, you know." And she thought about it, and she said, "Where else would I go? This has become my life." You know? And so that is who Paulette is, and we love her. We love her so much.
That's an awesome story. I love the turnaround. It started off really negative, and it got so much better. It's amazing.
You opened up her heart through a coffee shop.
Through a little coffee shop. Really just through friends, you know, that hang out here and do a lot of life together.
I feel like you're just trying to be friends with everyone in this community.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Notice you said do a lot of good life together. You say that a lot. Can you tell me what that, like, exactly what that means?
Yeah, so a lot of the folks that hang out here in the coffee shop, they're here every day. Sometimes some of them are here all day, The ones that live outside especially come in and when we open in the morning. Sometimes they'll be here all the way through till Friday nights, especially we do karaoke on Friday nights, and so they'll be in here singing till 10 o'clock at night, you know. And the ones that don't live outside still just hang out here a lot. We eat a lot of meals together. There are a lot of folks that are on food stamps and they share their food stamps with each other here. Many of them will bring, especially the ones living outside, they don't have a place to store food. So they'll bring their food here and we kind of combine it together. Sometimes we get things donated, you know, and we have a couple of ladies here in the community that are really creative and they know how to put things together that you would never imagine could work together. And they make really good food. And so we serve food, we eat meals together, and we go through a lot of illnesses together. We have a young man that's been involved, heavily involved in gangs his entire life. He survived a gunshot wound about a year and a half ago, gunshot to the head. And then received some brain damage from that, ended up disabled. He's been living outside. We just kind of make sure he's okay, you know. And then a couple of months ago, about 3 months ago now, somebody in his gang history beat him in the head with a baseball bat and then caused more brain damage. And while he was in the hospital for this injury, they discovered that he has cancer. He has lymphoma. So now he's living outside with all the violence in his history. There's just no way that anyone can really take him into our homes. And so he comes here every day. Some of the guys that live in the same camp area where he is, they help him make his way up here every day. And we give him his medication and we make sure that he's doing all right, make sure he's eating. And Paulette, the one I just spoke of, she takes him to his chemo treatments. And so we do, that's what I mean by we do a lot of life together. We just take care of each other, you know. And those of us who have more share with the ones that don't, you know. And sometimes that's money, sometimes it's resources, sometimes it's time, you know. And sometimes it's skills or privileges. I'm very, very privileged, you know, and compared to most that live in this neighborhood. And so, I feel like the right thing for me to do is to use the privilege that I have to help those that don't have as much privilege. You know? So we just share whatever we have with each other, and it makes life better for everyone.
I just want to say you're a remarkable human being.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, so Jake, can you say it before I do? I'm just beyond impressed right now. I'm beyond impressed. Like, all positivity you're doing in your community, hearing these stories. I know you have so much more, and I'm just like, this is amazing.
Well, I'll tell you, I want you to know it's not just me. I'm the one getting to do the talking right now, and I love to tell the stories. But this thing here doesn't work without everybody who's involved. And over the 10 years, we've added another thing and another thing and another thing to do to try to care for people here, and I could never do all of it. And with each thing that sort of presented itself, I would say, look, I'm already doing too much. I can't do anymore. And somebody then would step in and say, well, I'll do that part, you know. And so, and almost all of the people involved are people that live right here in this neighborhood. You know, they're not transplants from outside. It's people who have, as they started receiving help, they've turned around and are helping others. You know? So.
There's a, I would say, a very bad myth going on in America. The poor are lazy. They don't have open hearts. They don't want to help each other.
Yeah, that is not true. It is not our experience here anyway. In fact, I have found that the people that are here in poverty are much better at sharing with one another than people who have more. Because because they're in need. When you're in need, you know the person next to you is in need, and so we gotta help each other. We survive better when we do it together, and life is better when we do it together. So maybe it's some of that, but you would think it'd be the opposite. I can see why people would think that it would be the opposite, that when you have so little that you'd be really greedy. But what I tell you, that's not our experience. People here are really, really generous. So.
So you said there's a lot of other people that work here. You want to give them a shout out, tell them like who they are, how they started, stuff like that. I feel like that's as inspiring. The people that help out every day, I feel like that's as inspiring as the truth.
Okay, yes. So Paulette that I've shared with you, she does a lot to serve around here. We have another lady named Judy. Judy lives right here in the community as well, and she runs our free store. Judy is the one who oversees all the sorting of everything and managing all those donations and then opening the shop on Fridays and Saturdays. And she also is kind of a mama to the young ones here in this community. Mike, who is here actually serving in the coffee shop today, Mike lives outside, but he has been maybe 3 months ago that Mike started serving as a barista, and he is good at making the coffee and keeping the place clean. He's just a little bit OCD, so that is awesome.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
He keeps everything really clean. He wants to make sure it's done right, done well, and so Mike is doing really, really great. We have a new girl, brand new girl, that's actually been here with us for quite a few years. Struggled in meth addiction. We have a lot of addiction in this neighborhood. And you know, people they'll do better for a while and then not so good. And then better for a while and not so good. And she has gone through that cycle with us. And she has now been almost a year clean from meth. And is still actually living outside in a tent as they're just trying to get some things together to be able to move into a place. But she just about maybe less than a month ago started serving as a barista, and she's good. She's really good. She knows how to make the coffee, and we do all the fancy kind of lattes and frozen frappuccino kind of drinks and things, and make them really fun and special. And she's doing a really great job with that as well.
So. How do you make any money?
That's a very good question. So how this place works, and I don't know. Boy, I can't. I mean, I could put it all down on paper for you, but it still doesn't even make sense how it works. It's a combination of people coming in and actually buying drinks, you know, and our prices are less than what you'd have to pay at Starbucks, but they're still, you know, good price drinks. And so folks come in. I even get people that come in, see us on Yelp, you know, and they drive into the good reviews on Yelp, and they'll come in and kind of look around on where did I come? You know, this neighborhood's a little scary. But they come in, they buy coffee from us, and so that helps. We roast our own coffee here, actually. We have two guys that roast the coffee, and they're guys that have been living outside, learned how to roast our coffee beans, and it's really, really special. We have a blend of coffee that we call Paradise Blend. As a small little coffee shop, we can't order large quantities of beans at a time, and so we have a deal with a company that gives us just what they call broken bag beans. And so, you know, they'll sell larger quantities to bigger organizations, bigger companies, and they have just a little bit left of this kind, and a little bit left of this kind, a little bit left of this kind, and they just throw all that together for us and then give it to us. So every time we order from them, it's a little bit different blend, some from Brazil, some from Ecuador, some from Kenya, you know, just different stuff thrown together. And so we call it Paradise Blend, is what we call it.
It's so awesome.
And it roasts up really, really nicely. So we sell pounds of coffee that way over the internet. We also have a product we're really proud of. It's our masala chai. It's very much like what you would drink in India. I've been back and forth to India quite a few times and love their chai there. And so it's real chai. And the ladies that are in recovery in this community are the ones who make our masala chai. So we sell that online, and then I get invited to go and speak in different locations and teach about social justice and community development. And when I go and speak, I take those products with me and tell stories, and people buy the stuff. So that helps on the business end to actually sell things. But even with all of that, we don't quite break even. And so under our nonprofit status then, we're able to bring in donations of finances that help to cover that shortfall. And then, surprisingly too, we pass the bucket. You know, whenever there's a need here in our community, we just pass the bucket. If somebody, like we had a guy just this last 2 or 3 weeks ago that got poison ivy. He was living outside, somehow got into poison ivy, and it was just all over him. It was so bad. We could not get on top of it with just topical kind of stuff. And we ended up getting a prescription prescribed for him, and it was, you know, money that has to be spent on that prescription. And so when that kind of thing comes up, people here in the community we pool our money together, you know, and pay for things like that to take care of each other. So
every community should be.
Yeah, you don't need health insurance if we always just take care of each other,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. so.
The best universal healthcare.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Make you a GOP senator.
So, what's your favorite coffee?
Here?
From here, yes.
Well, our Paradise Blend is my favorite. Yeah,
I'm going to have to try it. I hear you talk about it for sure. Yeah,
it's good coffee. And really, our masala chai, if I was to say our very best product that we carry, that's what I like. Yeah, it's the chai.
So you said you get donations. Is there a way to donate online?
There is. Yeah, we have a way to donate there through Outrageous Love. It's the organization that is our nonprofit organization. So, yeah,
is it
I can
just
give you that information.
Outrageouslove.com.
Outrageous.love is the website.
Mm-hmm. We'll put that in the underneath.
Description.
Outrageous.love.
Okay.
Because we definitely want to donate, so hopefully people listening to this want to donate as well. Keep all this positivity going.
Great, that'd be wonderful.
I think you've covered pretty much all of our questions.
Yeah. Okay.
You really have. That was amazing. And right before we get out of here, we continue letting you save the world. What is your favorite quote?
Let's see. Right now, I like a quote by Frederick Buechner. He says that the place that God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And so that's what I experience here in this community all the time. I love being here. My gladness is being here in this place of need.
I promise you, you are the perfect person.
Absolutely. If you want to donate to Joe's Addiction, just go. We will put everything underneath in the description. We love everything about this interview.
I know, we're pretty speechless right now. We're like really in shock. And thank you so much for having us here at Joe's Addiction. This is wonderful.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for letting me tell my stories. I appreciate it.
Well, if you have any more stories you want us to tell, just let us know. We'll come back.
All right. We can do it. Okay.
Until then, we're out.
Stay positive.